audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. 3, 2, 1, go. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist.
Adam Carolla with a head of steam. No.
Well, listen, last night the coffee came in just a couple of beats after the show started.
Yeah, I thought we were talking about the parking situation.
Oh, yeah, well, just telling Tara, don't call me Tara, goddammit. The coffee's got to roll in here a couple seconds before the show starts. Yeah, all right.
All right.
Well,
you have a good
done.
Day? All right.
Hey, good day.
Did
Everything's
you?
Good.
Really?
Sure.
All right.
Why not?
Yeah.
I had a hectic week last week doing Jimmy's show and running around and everything. This week's been a little more mellow.
Yeah. Well, did you get planes?
No news is good news.
See, Drew, I told you there's no rhyme or reason.
To what?
What?
To Adam's insanity.
Oh, no. His irritability was from the construction, the huge tractor that's in our parking place, you know, and the fact that we have to crawl in and out of this studio,
well,
the building.
You know what drives me insane is when I become a Nostradamus, when 8 months ago I make the proclamation, let's get out of here before we watch this entire mother effing building go up next to us. Let's do the dust, the no parking, the gravel, the junk, the obstacles, the crap. Let's just get out of here. Let's do it now. What we don't want to do is have the entire building get built and then leave. That's stupid. That's something that stupid people would do. So I've told producer Ann 15 times that I made 3 phone calls. I've yelled at everyone I could yell at. And we'll just dig through the gravel, see if we can get to our job one more night. And we're on schedule to be out of here about the time they cut the ribbon on the new building next to ours. And it drives me insane that no one else seems interested in this. Drew especially. Drew's sort of, in theory, interested in it, and so is producer Ann, but no one's that's as far as it goes. So we're going to set a deadline maybe a week or two from now, and I'm just not coming in. That's that. I've labeled it dangerous to work here. Avril.
Hi.
That's not really your name, is it?
Yes, it is. Avril.
It just means April in French.
Avril?
No, Avril with a V. Yeah. My mom named me that.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Drew just was explaining that it meant April in French.
Maybe yes. A different spelling or something.
Your mom named you that because of what?
Because I was born in April.
Okay.
See, Drew? Not so smart after all. All right.
So.
Yeah.
Well, my question is, my boyfriend, I've been going out with him for like 4 years now, mm-hmm. and we've never had sex.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. At all.
Did she say 4 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, four years.
Wow, and how old is he?
He's 21.
He's gay.
21.
That's what I said.
I agree with you for the first time, Drew.
Either no penis.
And how far have you gotten with him?
Not even. We haven't even French kissed.
Wow. Drew is a man of supreme passion. Could you even imagine that?
No.
And, I mean, Drew would have, he'd be using your mouth for like a semen spittoon. week one into the relationship. Yes, Drew?
How do they avoid lip locking? You know what I'm saying?
How do you know he's your boyfriend?
Yeah.
Well, he gets me like a lot of Valentine's Day presents and stuff.
Is there anything unusual about your relationship? Do we need some details here? Anything unusual about the two of you?
Like, what do you mean?
Well, is one of you special or something? Is he confined to a wheelchair?
No.
Is he morbidly obese? Is he pre-op transsexual?
Have you not met because you only have a relationship over the internet?
No. We met in high school.
Mm-hmm. And how do you know he's your boyfriend? Maybe he's just your friend.
No. We do a lot of stuff together that's, you know, I don't know.
Does he ever talk about marriage?
Yeah, he does.
He does?
Yeah.
Is he a religious person?
No.
All right, so what's the question then? How to get him to kiss you?
Well, how to how do I go about, like, having sex with him?
How do you go about
well,
it?
Well, you got to get to first base first, right?
Yeah, first things yeah. first here. Just grab him and kiss him.
Why, yeah, why haven't you slipped him the tongue?
Well, it's because I kind of, I don't know, I don't feel like it's my, like I should be initiating.
Well, if that's the case, what about getting a new boyfriend? Someone who does initiate for you.
Well, the thing is, I actually cheated on him.
Oh, okay, well.
You had sex with somebody?
She's human.
Yeah.
How long ago? Listen, hey,
yeah.
Avril?
Avril.
Whatever. I can't take it anymore. Would you get your ass in gear? I can't dedicate the first hour to you and your stupid question. Now, what's going on? You cheated how long ago?
Like 5 months ago.
Oh, she just got it.
Just my finger was flying for the button there. And listen, everybody, I don't care if it's 4 months. I don't care if it's 6 months.
Just was it yesterday, a out. Year, 10 years?
Yeah, just yeah. say a couple. You've been a guy for 4 years. Just, you know, if you cheated. Just
this
say
year. This year.
A couple months back.
Yeah, this year.
Yeah, that's all fine.
Yeah.
All right.
Gets the point across.
Look, break up with him. You don't like him. Fine. Break up with him.
There's no relationship.
You have nothing.
Of real.
All right.
All right?
Okay.
All right, good.
What is up? Wouldn't you like to scratch under the surface there a little bit?
No, like the kicker, like a jukebox.
Did you read that Dawson's Creek script, by the way, yet?
Are you kidding me?
I'm not going to read it.
I'm not going to read it until after we do it.
Well, that's what... But people need to be prepared for what you're going to do to it.
Is it bad?
Not bad. It's a clever... It's a cute story. It's just I know it's... You're going to need to change it.
Drew and I are doing Dawson's Creek. I'm not sure why we're doing Dawson's Creek, but it sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drew and I, and
it's clear. It's us at a college gig, and it captures a little bit of the look and feel of it.
And what's the prom?
Everybody starts sort of airing all the characters start airing their dirty laundry.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly this one relationship that this girl's trying to break up with a guy, but she's actually idealizes him, thinks it's the greatest thing in the world, but he's so perfect, she has to sabotage.
Well, how much stuff do we have to memorize? Fair amount?
We're most of this.
They got cue cards in this show,
right?
I'm
sure, yeah, it's just like a talk show.
And what's wrong with the script?
It doesn't sound like you. No. You're going to need to change some of it. And I was looking at my stuff, too, and thinking, it's right ideas.
Right.
But it doesn't sound like us. And I thought, I wonder if they're going to let us change this. And I thought, oh, boy, we're glad I got this.
Well, they have to let us change it.
And the jokes and stuff, I know you'll come up with stuff more, you know, way more funny.
Yeah. Why is that?
It's just, you're better.
I'm a carpenter. Isn't there people realize that?
No.
What are all these comedy writers doing?
But you'll have an interesting experience reading it because you'll realize.
True. I'm not going to read it.
You will because you realize how constrained they are.
I haven't read my own scripts.
It takes 15 minutes.
Drew, the thing showed up in the mail a week ago. Uh-huh. It's still in the package. Uh-huh. Do you know me in reading?
But it's interesting.
Can you name me a script I've read since you've known me in 8 years?
No.
A book?
No.
Anything? Anything that I've done?
I've given you goddamn books on tapes and you ever listen to them.
Well, because they have writing on the outside of the tape.
I'm going to black that out.
There's this thing that says side one, and then I get bored. I don't even know what's on the other side. I guess it says side two, but I'm not sure. Melissa?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Mm-hmm.
Have you read the script yet? Are you kidding?
Liz, you're reading.
Drew, what have I said? Oh, yeah, I got that the other day, read through it. Wouldn't you be shocked?
No, it takes a few minutes.
No.
You flip through it.
I didn't. It's still in the manila envelope.
All right.
I haven't even opened it.
All right.
Melissa, I thought it was
curiosity.
I thought it was a big jug catalog.
Oh, yeah, well, that would
I was excited.
That.
And then I thought it was a model airplane catalog, and I got excited. And then I thought it was a car catalog, and I got excited. And then it said Dawson's Creek on it, and I thought, well, this can stay in the envelope. Melissa?
Yeah.
You're 17. Go ahead.
Well, when I was younger, I was molested with my brother.
Good times.
Not really, but I just wanted to know, because I'm going to be 18 in, like, next year, but I wanted to know, like, if I wanted to tell somebody about it, do I have to be 17 to still do it? Like, under 18?
In order for him to get in trouble for it?
Yeah.
I don't believe that's true. I don't believe in California there's any statute on that.
This is your...
So whenever you report it, it's reportable.
This is your blood brother?
Yeah.
And how long ago did this happen?
I was like
think it, I remember it started happening when I was maybe around three until I was in second grade.
Why don't you go ahead and get to it and report it? I mean, what are you waiting for?
How do I go about telling my mom that,
though? Well, maybe just call Child Protective Services.
Sure, she understands how this stuff works.
You call, yeah, she happened to her is what Adam's saying. That's usually the way it
probably.
Goes.
Probably. Yeah. Well, let's see if we can figure this out. How much older is your brother than you?
10 years.
10 years?
Mm-hmm. He's 27 right now.
He's 27.
Does he have kids?
No.
It's good.
Thank God.
And did he have sex with you?
No.
He just
touching
and stuff like that.
Okay.
And this went on for a number of years.
5 years.
Yep.
5 years. And he was 18 when it stopped?
I remember he was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, exactly how old he was, though.
Why do you think it stopped?
I don't know.
And where's your dad?
In Arizona.
So he doesn't live with you guys?
No. Nope.
And does your mom get along with her dad?
Yeah.
They're good?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, well. Let's give that number out. Hold on.
You could call Child Protective Services, but I have a child abuse hotline.
Hold on. You got a pen?
Yeah.
Good. Go ahead, Drew.
800.
Okay.
540.
Okay.
4000.
Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So call that. And have you ever got any therapy or anything?
No.
That would certainly be in your best interest.
Okay.
How are you doing otherwise?
I'm fine.
You have a boyfriend?
I used to.
Not anymore.
No, I broke up with him.
Good.
How come?
Anderson.
God. What is with our callers?
Well, what do you mean, what's with them? They're extremely stupid. Well, what are you surprised?
Melissa let the S word fly about three times there.
No, it was like 2¾.
Okay.
It was like 2 15/16. Luckily, the fast-fingered one caught the end of the T on the last one.
It's every third word.
No, she said it twice.
She said it
2 times, and I chop the cantilever off the end of the last T on the second one. See it, Drew? Mm. Like, if you were reading it, you'd see the T. Yeah,
3/4, like you said.
But it looked like an upside-down L.
The whole
facing the wrong way.
The whole 10 seconds is gone forever, so it doesn't matter.
All right. Gone forever?
Forever.
Where's it go? Is it in space, or is it in the Westwood One garbage?
Well, epistemologically speaking, it exists somewhere.
That's what I'm saying. If only in our memories.
Contact.
Okay, so our last caller was doing a lot of swearing, so we had to hang up on her, or at least put her on hold. We feel bad. She got molested.
Go ahead and report it. Get some treatment. There you go.
Report it. Get treatment.
She should call us. She's picking a-holes because she was abused. She's a trauma victim. Probably had a-hole parents. And
yes,
there you go.
Yes. And don't get pregnant.
No.
Please, Lord. Michael?
Yeah.
You're 26?
Yeah, I'm 26.
What's up?
Well, you know, I was wondering, Dr. Drew's always talking to these people on the air about, you know, addiction, and he's saying, okay, you got a problem with drugs, and okay, now you should get into, you know, one of these programs. And, you know, I've been through a program, and I've had a sponsor, and my sponsor said to me, you know, you're not sick. You don't have a problem. And I'm wondering if this is a social problem versus a, you know,
maybe you're not an addict, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if it's not like the ADD problem going on today. You know,
well, essentially all addicts have ADD. So I don't think
that's what he's asking, though.
You mean addiction is somehow a sort of a grab bag diagnostic category?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, you've had a problem with drugs. Like I've heard Adam say, you know, he's had friends who have had problems with, you know, painkillers, you know, say they get a back injury, then they have painkillers, and eventually it's like hard for them to get off of them, and automatically they're addicts. You know?
They're addicts. They make no mistake about it.
I agree with you to some degree, which is, I was saying to Drew, well, it's not exactly. Hold on.
I'm thinking of the guy you're
talking
about.
Michael's sort of halfway between a bad attitude and whatever. All right. So hold on, Michael.
Okay.
What I'm saying, what he's heard me say to Drew is there are people out there who've not had a problem with booze, have not had a problem with drugs. Doesn't mean they didn't drink. Doesn't mean they didn't do some this or that, but didn't form into a problem. And then somewhere later in life, in their early 30s, late 30s, early 40s, they had an injury, the back injury. They started taking Vicodin or whatever. Next thing you know, they got momentum with that. Drew says alcoholic or Drew says addict. Yeah. I say, Jesus, guy made it to 41 years of age without anything. Is that really an addict? I mean, what if he never hurt his back?
I treat alcoholics whose alcohol use doesn't go out of control until they're in their 70s.
Yeah, but at least they're, well, I'm sure that's the exception more than the rule.
It is. The idea is...
And at least they're drinking during that period. You know what I'm saying?
Here's the bottom line. It's a biological event in the mesolimbic reward system, the reward apparatus of the brain, in the genetically prone individual that takes off, that a threshold is reached, a switch is thrown, and now you have a disease.
Who could not, though, take... Who amongst us, if you had an injury, mm-hmm. you had legitimate pain, mm-hmm. you started taking a pill that alleviated the pain, mm-hmm. You went through a few cycles of this, meaning this had gone on for a number of months. I'm guessing that a large portion of society, maybe more than 50%, could get on board with this.
And take
this
pain pills and get off.
Could get momentum with this.
No, it's about 20-30%.
Then you get... Then somebody takes them off it, and maybe that's it. But I'm saying, is that an addict?
What you have to look at, there are cofactors. There's the biological process that has to get triggered, and then the forces that come to bear that let that thing happen.
About the part of just getting into something that is extremely, that feels good, whether it's food or whatever it is?
Not most people, but a significant percentage of people, when they take opiates, feel like S. They feel like I have patients come in sobbing after they take Vicodin, and they vomit. And
they come in sobbing.
Oh,
you have one of everything, and that just becomes your rule when you're trying to make a point.
I have had patients come in sobbing uncontrollably under the influence of opiates. It's not an uncommon thing.
Right. But that's not the majority of people.
I'm saying a significant percentage of people don't feel good when they take opiates. So
yeah,
excruciating
pain.
They don't like it.
That's not the majority, though. That is a small percentage.
The point I'm trying to make, let me make the point, is that the first thing that has to be there biologically is that drug has to feel good. It has to cause euphoria. If it doesn't work, you don't use it. So that knocks out about 30% of the population
But I'm going to argue right off the top that it doesn't have to cause euphoria. It has to be effective. It has to be effective if you have a problem.
But for you to get momentum with it, it has to feel good.
Well, if it alleviates, if you're in pain and it stops the pain, I could argue that that feels good by virtue of not making you feel bad.
All right, so
with the pain.
But pain goes away. Physical pain goes away.
Right.
Emotional pain remains. So emotional pain becomes the risk factor for ongoing use.
Yes, but after doing something for a number, taking X amount of pills, 100 pills or 500 pills or whatever, however amount you take, this could become a habitual.
And a non-addict will go through the withdrawal. No sweat. They'll go through it. They won't look back. They don't feel bad. They go on.
I'm saying the difference between there are people who get hooked on heroin, who get hooked on booze, who get started on stuff at 17 years of age.
That's severe addiction.
Who get going with stuff and all that kind of stuff. And then there are people who make it into their 40s mm-hmm, without any addiction.
It's a spectrum.
Get into something. All right. Well, you should have degrees then. Of
severity, there is.
All right. Well, see, you want to label everyone addict all the time.
Well, it's our callers. We're talking to pretty sick people a lot of the time.
Well, some of the time. But I think you overstate things, Drew. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I know, who was Michael over here?
Yeah.
Hi, Michael, listen, I did all your arguing, but that doesn't mean you're not an addict. All right?
Yeah,
and I know you're an addict because you're calling and trying to argue that you're not, which is number one on the Are You an Addict list.
No, I've been trying to call for quite some time now.
All right. All right, so anyway, I made your argument, right?
Yeah.
All right, good. Yeah, good times, bud. All right, let's talk to Rick, who's 21. Rick?
Hey, what's going on?
There's a lot.
Well, I got a question for both of you guys. Maybe a little
speed round tonight, a little lightning round.
Speed round.
basically, since I was in high school, you know, I get lucky, I guess, you know, with girls. But every time, you know, I'm on first date and I'm going to get some, I can never ride to the occasion on the first date.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. But, you know, once I get to the second, third, you know, hey, it's it's good. It's banging.
Well, you're anxious. You sort of set this track record. This history is lies out before you. And you're anxious. It's going to happen. You make it happen. It's called anticipatory anxiety. Plus, just the nerves of being with someone for the first time is enough to make it happen to anyone.
All right, so don't do anything on the first date.
Yeah, get to know someone better.
I mean, it doesn't only happen on the first date. It also happens with women that I've known for a while. It also happens when I put a condom on.
Are you on medication?
Excuse me?
Are you on any medication?
No, none.
All right. All right. So practice the condom, right?
You just need to get in a steady relationship and kind of work it out a little bit. You have anybody you're interested in? Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot. I was in a serious relationship for a while.
Mm-hmm. How did it work then?
It was good, but the same thing happened with that same person for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But then afterwards, you know, once I started getting used to it, it was fine. But, you know, we had differences, so we couldn't get together anymore. So
yeah. What were the differences?
She wanted more...
A different boyfriend.
No, she wanted marriage, and I didn't.
I see.
Yeah. So.
What do you do, Rick? You swing a hammer?
Excuse me?
What do you do? Are you in this construction trade?
What do you mean?
What do you do?
For a living.
I work for the movie industry.
Uh-huh.
Simple.
Gay porn?
No.
What do you do?
I'm a prop master assistant.
Uh-huh.
Keep grip.
Prop master assistant. So you work on TV shows and stuff? You work in movies?
Movies. Right now, I'm basically just low-budget movies, but hopefully one day...
Gay porn.
All right. Oh, well, good times there, buddy. Yeah, I don't know. You just you get a girlfriend, you find someone you like, you kind of work it out, it all goes.
All right.
Yeah, we'll let's see. What are we going to do, Drew? Who are we talking to when
Mary.
We come back? Mary?
Yeah.
She wants to know what's behind incredible sex chemistry, physical, chemical. She wants to know if it's emotional. She wants to know all about it. That's an interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little esoteric, but we haven't talked about it in a while. So we'll get to that after this. Yeah. Nothing wrong with a good riff. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew. Let's get back to the phones and speak to Mary. So Mary's question was about chemistry and incredible sex, yes?
Right, yeah. I was wondering if you guys think, or particularly Dr. Drew, if there's anything usually kind of behind that. Does that usually indicate some other kind of compatibility, you know?
Not necessarily. In fact,
it's trouble.
It's usually more of a problem. If there's a very intense attraction, it usually is trying to solve some problem.
Really?
Often trauma in childhood.
But if you were traumatized or you had a rough childhood or something happened, and then there's incredible chemistry and attraction, then you gotta be careful.
You gotta be careful, yeah.
But if you had a good childhood and you're relatively well put together emotionally and there's intense attraction, although it's never quite as intense when you're well put together.
No, it isn't. That's the point.
I know. No highs, no lows. Then it's not necessarily a bad thing.
Right. Then it's just a good thing.
Let me say this. I mean, like, what if most of your life, I mean, you've had relatively good sex, I'm talking about myself, and then you have this, like, really incredible experience.
What was so incredible about it?
Well, it was just literally just physically so pleasurable. And
why? What was it about that was so intense?
Well
you should tell us.
He was very sensitive, and also, and I mean that, like, in a lot of different ways. And then he was able to, you know, perform for quite a while.
Well, never underestimate just a pure physical part of sex.
That's what I was asking.
Yeah, I mean, there's guys like basketball or playing the banjo. Some people are better at it than others, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's always nice to be in the company of someone who's mastered their sport.
And if you've never run across somebody like that, then it's, you know.
Yeah. You could have got a bad hand dealt to you, too, as far as all the penises.
Penile,
I think I might have not had the best luck.
Yeah.
But okay, one more question.
Well, no. we got a question for you.
Okay, what?
We have a question for you.
What's that?
Because you didn't answer our first question.
What was that?
We didn't really pose it as a question, which is, was your childhood good?
Were you traumatized?
Oh, well, I had kind of like, I guess I was slightly traumatized. I didn't have the best childhood, and I had to work some stuff out. And luckily, I found a really good shrink. And
All right. Okay.
Yeah, I've been seeing him for about 2 or 3 years, and I feel like I'm so much happier.
Well, and you know, also being 38 years old, you may just be coming into your wheelhouse sexually.
Oh yeah.
So there's some of that. Well, you know, when you're 21, biologically, you may not just have been that into it.
But usually, when people have that kind of oh my God experience, it is something else also. Some fusion, some fantasy of some very remnant effect of yourself. There's a book called Dreams of Love and Fateful Encounter that kind of gets into that stuff a little bit. It's a pretty easy book to read.
Is this guy your boyfriend?
Oh, I'm sorry?
Is this guy your boyfriend?
Maybe.
Okay.
I met him visiting a friend out of state.
Uh-oh.
Well, wait. And we hung out for like 2 days. And I really didn't think anything of it. I thought, you know, he lives here. It's like in the country, kind of, and blah, 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 blah. But I just found myself thinking about him. And I guess he was pretty smitten with me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very, very nice to me in a lot of different ways.
You had one more question for us. What was that?
Oh.
You said just one more question.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, you don't want to hear the whole story?
No.
I've heard enough.
No, more than enough.
Yeah. Anyways, so we're in contact on the phone. We might get back, we're going to get back together and see if there's any real interpersonal chemistry.
Excellent.
Okay. But anyways, I've heard that sexual chemistry is sometimes mediated by the sense of smell.
There's a lot of sort of stuff about that out there. And yeah, there's something to that. I mean, there's some experiments that show that when women go into bar with certain pheromones on, the guys respond to them differently. But, you know.
Speaking of pheromones,
you going to produce something?
No, but I was driving home from the gym the other day, and I smelled a funk that I haven't smelled since, football locker room days.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That ammonia funk.
And I thought, where's that coming from?
Oh, yeah.
I thought, that's not my MO. And I sniffed the pits, and nothing there. And then I headed south, headed downward, and I realized that's sack smell.
Oh, yeah.
And
sack funk.
Sack funk.
Yeah.
And I realized I got that in spades, you know?
Got the sack funk.
Yeah. I got no pit funk, but plenty of sack funk.
Well, that's where you learned the habit of putting the talc down there. Have you sort of gotten out of that habit?
Well, when you got the sack funk and you like to double down and triple down on the underpants wearing like me, you'll find that a dash of talc helps stretch the underpants. You know, they go a few more days.
Yeah, day three, you've got like paper mache in there or something, right?
Yeah.
Ugh. Like a sack imprint.
Drew, please.
Paper mache. D'Arto's tunic.
Do not get this. But my point is I was thinking, yeah, there's, for the ladies back in the cave, back in the day, that's something to let them know I mean business.
Of course.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
I guess it'd be more like Plaster of Paris, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and to be fair to me, I will wear the same underpants to work out in many, many times in a row.
Oh, good times.
Yeah, but I douse it.
Oh, but you would change out of them when you go back to work.
Yeah, yeah.
You would just wear the same underwear. For
no, no, I don't. I don't wear the same underpants to work every day.
Okay.
I got those Midway underpants. They're nice to work out in. I work out in them. Hang them.
You mean the boxer briefs?
Yeah, hang them on, dry them out, and then dump a bunch of talc in them and put them on and work out the next day.
They're like $18 a piece.
That's what I'm saying.
Work out of that.
I mean, I may literally be a millionaire, but I still can't afford to buy. I got to buy underwear in the chub pack. I can't buy the single underpants. I've not gotten to that point.
Not yet. In the tube.
Not in the tube. No. No, but single underpants. Here's how underpants work. You can get 18 pair of underpants for $14, or you can buy one for $18. That's how it works. They don't do the chub pack or the Midway ones. That'd be like $750.
That's right.
All right. And you should be able to try on underpants, too, because once in a while, you buy a couple that look about right. Mm. You get home, you pop them on. It's like, no.
And they hide the waist size, too. It's like small, medium, large. Guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And like I said, you pop them on, and they ain't working.
Or they have the boxer briefs, but then they have knit briefs. You notice this thing?
No.
Or knit boxers or something. Like,
what do they do?
There's so many different versions. You can't tell what the hell. And there's some with the fly button and the this button and the what the hell.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'm gonna work it out. But the point is did notice some sack funk whilst I was driving. Jennifer?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
I've been with my boyfriend for like 3 years. And like, I'm not on birth control. And I want to be. And he doesn't want me to be because he thinks it's too unsafe.
It's unsafe for you to be on birth control?
Yeah, he thinks there's too many bad side effects.
Such as what?
Well, I don't want to get into this. We get into this all
the
time.
Well, let's just...
Your boyfriend's just an idiot.
A complete idiot.
So...
How do I convince him?
Well, here's the bottom line.
Shut up. You don't have to convince him.
The risk of a pregnancy, the risk to your safety of a pregnancy, of going through a pregnancy, is far, far greater than any potential risk of the birth control pill.
And where's he getting this information? The internet?
I have no idea. We've never had sex without a condom.
Okay. That's good. That's all right.
Well, that's good.
So. Here's what's behind that. He's got warts or something. He's in his motel.
Oh. Yeah. You think he has anything?
I don't think so.
No, that's
what. How old is he?
He's 19.
And you guys been together for a year?
3 years.
Almost three. Okay. That's, yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you what could be behind it is he's got one of his buddies saying that his old lady put on 20 pounds after she got on the pill,
mm-hmm.
or something like that. And that's what he's worried about. Mm.
But he wouldn't keep wearing the condom so religiously.
Yeah.
There's something motivating
he's
there.
He's a riddle, this man of yours. Yeah. I can't figure him out.
But we don't trust him.
Well, you get on the pill. It's not a bad thing.
She's on the pill. She's on it.
No, I thought she won't let him.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said you were on it and he wants you to get off it. Okay.
No, I want to be on it, but
I beg your pardon.
It's too, like, risky and no. I don't know. He thinks it's a big deal and it's really not.
Does he believe in Chupacabra?
Oh, what's that?
That's the blood-sucking goat that the Mexicans fear so much. No? Chupacabra's gone? Okay, babe. It was all the rage a few years ago.
I have no idea.
Okay. That's it. Right. Girls, they don't need to know so much.
Ask what her dad does. No?
I was watching Survivor tonight.
Yeah.
And they were, they've broken the camps up into the men's camp and the women's camp. And then they got there for like 2 days and then torrential rains hit. Of course, the men have their camp all built. They got their above ground shelter and they got the thatched roofing and everything, and the women, they got nothing, just eight broads running in circles, sopping wet, just all crying and sopping wet. They can't get anything going. It's raining, and they cut to the men's camp and everything's humming along like a Swiss clock, and they cut to the women's camp and it's a mess. And I don't say anything to the old lady, but I'm looking at her and I'm thinking, you guys complaining about getting 70 cents of the dollar? You're complaining? That seems generous to me. You see what's going on here? Just take eight random women and eight random men and go put them on an island and tell them to fend for themselves. And women are sitting there, look like kittens that got dropped in a lake. The guys are all high and dry.
Why don't you say that to her?
Yeah. Oh, I've said many. Listen.
He says despicable things to her all the time.
I say these things all the time.
She had her ass full that night. Tonight.
Yeah. 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 Not worried about that.
Because I thought I was going to have to pull out the whip for you. No? Not yet?
Oh, you will.
Oh, no.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
No. You let me know. Cue me when it's ready.
Oh, don't worry.
When it's time.
Then when there's a child, don't worry. Do not worry.
No. No, I just told her she was bringing home the bacos the other night. That was enough.
She hasn't spoken to you since, probably.
No, like, she understands. She looked at me and said, women. She said, chicks are lame. I said, that's right. Now you're catching on. And they're fine. I'm just saying they, you know. That whole we want equal pay, go watch Survivor. All right. Although they did win. They did win the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, I also said to my wife when the challenge was coming up, I said, here's the problem when the guys battle the gals. Every challenge is going to be a puzzle.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it used to be just good old-fashioned combat because there was four guys and four girls on every team, and they'd go at it, you know? Now, eight guys on one team and eight girls on the other, you can't just have a, you know, can't have a bataka fight on a log.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Not fair. Yeah.
So everyone's going to be some sort of puzzle, mm-hmm. some sort of challenge. And as soon as it comes out of my mouth, I think, oh, Christ, everything's going to be a puzzle. Proops comes on there, and he's like, we got a puzzle for you to solve. And I was like, all right. Now it's getting boring.
Go back.
And the women do win those things. They win all that listening stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They get the guys at the end when they're like, what's the hometown? What hometown does Sherry come from? And the guys are like, which one's Sherry? And the girl says, Muncie. Muncie, two kids. One's autistic. And their names and everything. All that stuff I would film miserably at. Are you ready to go here, Drew?
Let's go.
Michelle?
Hey. How's it going?
You're 32.
I'm 32.
You want to know if there's a psychological reason why anal sex feels so good?
Actually, I wanted to know if there was a physical reason or if it was just psychological.
Oh, it does say physical there.
Yeah. No, there. Anything that feels good has a physical reason to it.
But is there a nerve that's somehow attached to the clitoris or something that...
For some women, there's... no one has ever described it explicitly, but there seems to be, for some women, some real heavy stimulation there, yeah.
Now, hold on a second. Do you enjoy anal sex?
Yeah, I like it.
All right, hold on. We got to take a little break. It just sounds... And Drew, we talk to these women from time to time.
Yeah.
They have no problems. It's just something they enjoy. So we'll get into that with Michelle after this. Hey, Love Line, everybody. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. When we left off, we're speaking to Michelle. Michelle's 32. She enjoys anal sex. Michelle? Mm-hmm.
That's me.
You have a boyfriend?
No.
Do you have trouble getting guys to do this with you?
No, actually, I find that most guys want to do that. I typically will save it for someone that I really like.
Save it. But it's something that you really like, though.
Yeah, usually it's something that I tend to take charge over more than they do.
Right. I didn't really answer Drew's why you're saving it for some guy that you really like when you really like it. You know what I'm saying?
It's for you, not for him.
Right.
So why do you...
It has to be the right guy, because, I mean, you have to be able to make the guy kind of back off and you take charge of it. So some guys aren't always very sensitive. But no, most guys like it. They also consider it a treat, too. So I just
trying to imagine what she's talking about there.
Mm.
Guy needs to back off and she takes charge.
You mean you sort of set the pace anally?
Right.
Set the anal... You drive the...
pace of the penetration.
She's driving the brown... She's driving the brown pace car, Drew. You a big gal?
No.
Mm-hmm. And what do you do for a living?
I'm an accountant.
No, you're not.
I
really? And how do you prep? Like, if you know there's going to be a night of anal ahead of you, what would you do?
I don't do anything.
She just goes right ahead.
No, I don't want to move your bowels or anything earlier that night or...
Nothing?
No, I would think if they'd be more cautious, but no.
Do you have the guy wear a condom?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Good.
And you're not self-conscious at all? I mean, you know, I would give myself a good working with a loofah, for instance.
Why would I be self-conscious?
Well, you might be self-conscious because your cheeks are spread and your anus is gaping and there's a guy poking his penis into your rectum.
I know, but I mean, typically when you're intimate, I mean, everything's exposed, right?
Well, everything's exposed, but I wouldn't take a crap on somebody or, you know. I mean, like, put it this way. If I had a nice lovemaking session and we were done and I was going to use the bathroom, I would and I was going number two, I would close the door behind me. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I guess what I'm saying is that I actually like it. And I'm a little bit more intrigued as to why guys think it's such a big thing. Because I'll talk to guys that are just absolutely bewildered if you like it, meaning they're always trying to get their wives to do it, or if you can take it more than once, or...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not a guy, so I don't know what the difference is in terms of how they feel that area versus the other one. But
all right, well, some guys like it and some guys don't.
No guys are really way into it.
Michelle doesn't track...
Right.
Yeah. She's not a good tracker, is she?
Well, she's got kind of her own agenda going.
Is that what that
not
is?
Not listening, yeah.
Yeah.
She keeps going back to, well, I want to know.
I want to know. She wants to know what. Here's the thing about anal sex. The guys, okay, there are a percentage. Let's try to work the percentages out, Drew.
All right.
Anal sex. 75% of guys just basically want nothing to do with it.
Yes.
And not their cup of tea.
Right.
And I know that sounds like a majority of guys, but it is. I mean, if you had if you had four guys in a room, three guys would just, maybe they tried it, but it's not really, not on their radar.
In that three would be couldn't care less and guys that couldn't care less and guys that absolutely don't want it.
Yeah, it's not, I'm not saying all those 75% are repulsed by
right,
it.
Right.
It's just not their cup of tea.
Right, couldn't care less.
Not interested. Okay. Then there's the 25% who are into it. I would say that
that's right.
I would say that 5%. No, let's see.
A fifth.
I would say of that 25%.
Yeah.
15% of those guys are into it for the sort of domination
okay.
thing.
All right.
Like I want to nail you in the ass, and the more you don't want me to do it, the more
right.
I want to do it.
Okay.
That those guys would be sort of scared away. Not necessarily scared away, but they would run out of steam if they had a woman every night saying, wrong place.
Yeah.
Put it here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So there's really just I would say about 10% of guys who really just flat are into anal.
Yeah.
The sensation.
Yeah.
And if you want it every night, I'll give it to you every night. And if I hook up with a woman who's into it, God, okay. more power to me. Right?
Game on. Yep.
Right. Hey, do we agree on this, Drew?
Yeah.
How come we always agree on our percentages?
Because they're right.
Yeah. You guys hear that? We're right. Selena?
Yes.
You're 22?
Yes.
What's up?
Last night you were talking about how the younger a child is, the more things affect them.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering, I just got divorced last month, and my daughter's 4, and how that really affects a child.
And she's a girl?
Yes.
Yeah. It will affect her. You need to get a stable male figure in her life. And she will always idealize dad and always have feelings about herself and her self-worth based on the fact that dad could leave. That will always affect her. But if she gets a
Daddy's
nice...
Daddy's always going to be the better parent.
Well, there will always be that whole thing. He'll be idealized. But more importantly, she'll feel bad about herself because on some level she feels she caused his departure. And that will stay with her forever. And so she needs to get some sort of ongoing quality relationship with a male to sort of slowly integrate a more realistic sense of herself in relationship to a man.
Yeah. It's not may not be all that bad, Selena, but like you getting pregnant at 16 or 17 is probably not a great thing.
And the fact that her dad left too, Selena's, I bet.
Mm-hmm.
Did that happen?
Yeah.
All right.
It's so interesting. I was watching the Michael Jackson things again tonight, and his mm-hmm. wife, the blonde woman, that had two of his kids,
mm-hmm.
she was like, I don't understand why people could say I'm abandoning my children. And I thought, okay, her dad was gone. She never had a dad, I guarantee it. Or he was horribly abusive, and then he was gone. Or mom departed. She had the exact same thing happen because she can't even perceive what it does to a kid.
You watch Jeopardy and say that about Alex Trebek, too. I mean, any TV you watch, right? You watch cartoons and say that Bugs Bunny's parents
are
alcoholics.
No. We're talking about that she...
Yes. No, of course. Yes. Anyone who thinks that's okay had that happen to them.
Because they can't perceive
it. And they're defending it.
They cannot perceive how horribly damaging it is. And that's... Selena, that's you. Your dad left and it's affected you. You picked the same guy. And if you don't want that to happen to your daughter, you know...
Well, I mean, it was a lot healthier for me to leave than to stay with him, definitely.
But you picked another guy just like dad. And that's your legacy, and that's what you're transmitting over to her now.
All right. So there you go, Selena. There, sleep well.
Thanks.
All right. Well, listen, baby, it's not a death sentence. You do well. Don't pick any more losers. Take care of your daughter. Don't have any more kids. How many kids do you have?
One. That's
okay,
it.
Okay, that's
done.
Enough. Good. And this guy's down the road. He's out of...
He's in the military. He's in Kuwait.
Good. Well, maybe he'll get shot over there. Keep our fingers crossed.
Find a stable guy. Don't keep trying to solve your dad problems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right.
Let's quickly talk to Scott.
Yeah.
Got 1 minute.
All right.
Scott?
Hi.
Scott?
Yeah.
You're 24. What's up?
Yeah, I just think your percentages on the guys who like anal sex are a little, like, low. Like, way more guys are into anal sex. Every guy I know is, they love it. Maybe it's my group of guys, but, and me personally, I had a girlfriend, and at one point, that's all I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I could see if it's something that only you wanted to do, then it would seem like it would be a higher percentage.
Right.
I'm not saying, I'm saying 25% of guys are really into it and, that's and do it regularly.
Right, that's we're talking about 50 million people.
It's a pretty good chunk of society. Now, I'm not saying, as I stated, I'm not saying that the 75% who aren't into it think it's yucky or scared of it or haven't even or haven't tried it. I'm just saying it's not something that they're
really into.
Part of the regular thing.
I just think with a lot of percentage of guys who, you know, they try everything else and they got to take it to the next level. They want to at least, you know, experience everything. And I just, every guy I've talked to, it's like, I mean, that takes it up a notch, you
He's
know?
He's not
like,
tracking. Scott's
an idiot. Yeah.
Scott, you didn't
All right, listen, we got five guys right here. Let's be honest.
Scott's
get embarrassing.
It. Scott's into it.
I'm not counting. Okay, six guys. Right. I'm saying, counting Andy and Brian and Anderson. Right. You know, I've tried it, but I'm not into it.
Show of hands, people who aren't really into it.
Okay.
All right.
Andy's into it?
So it's 4 out of 5.
All right, 4 out of 5 over here. All right, well, that's a little less. That's 20%.
But that's the number, yeah.
Yeah, but even security guard Andy, I mean, you're into it, but I'm going to get too personal here, but... Is this on the menu every time you're intimate? This is Easter and your birthday, right? A little more, once a year. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, okay,
we're talking about with girls too, right? Not with guys.
Yeah. Oh, Anderson, sorry, buddy.
We're talking about with guys.
I know that was unfair. That was unfair of me. That was unfair. You're right. I owe you an apology. We'll be back. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right, let's get to the phones. I feel like I'm in a Volkswagen commercial whenever that plays.
Yeah. It has that sound, doesn't it? Yeah.
Did,
Fisher Spooner.
Fisher Spooner.
Did
I was going to say, did, you know, it seems like most, I don't have anything funny to say about this, but... A lot of car commercials aimed toward the younger crowd these days.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of 20-year-olds buying their cars.
Civics and VWs. Yeah,
Mitsubishi has a lot of that. Yeah. Just sort of younger people out enjoying the car.
Yeah.
Honda's doing that with that new van and stuff, whatever that thing is. I don't remember that back in the day. You used to be Ricardo Montalban would get up there and talk to your dad.
For a Velar, yeah.
About this car. There's medallions in the taillight. You know it's a finely crafted automobile. There's plastic that blooms.
So it's stuck
in the taillights. But it just seemed like commercials, or maybe I was just young and thought a 22-year-old guy was an old man.
Ooh.
But it just seemed like cars were something, I don't know. It's like they went toward dads, not like, you know, college kids.
It's interesting. And the cars cost 8 times as much now, too.
Yeah, but relatively...
Still a lot?
Really?
Remember when $8,000 used to be a tremendous price for a car?
Yeah, they're 18 grand, but the minimum wage is like $8, yeah. Whereas it was $1.65. So, I mean, it's going up, 600%.
No, it's just like, you guys seem like teenagers.
Oh. Yeah.
Your voices are like old.
Good time. Dave, what's up? 34.
Not much, but you're right. Yeah, but I'll tell you, a grocery bagger can't afford to spend 20 grand on a car.
Yeah, that's what it seems to me.
Mm.
It's very expensive. I don't know. They need to rethink their ads. They need to go back for dad.
Yeah, they got a bunch of... And you know the other thing, too, is all the guys that are driving the cool cars are slacker snowboarders. It's like they do these commercials like,
me and Toby and Scooter
and have a job.
Nickel. We all hopped in our new Ford or new Honda. We did a road trip and we stopped here and we met these chicks. And I'm like, well, where do you stoner slackers get $22,000?
Well,
all right, Dave.
I don't know. All right. Been married for 9 years. Been with the same girl. We dated for like 4 years even before that. Been together with her forever since she was out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, we're young people. We're, you know, we've experimented with other partners, so forth, whatever. Mm-hmm. Guys and girls, you know, I've had buddies.
South Florida or Northern Florida?
Northern Florida.
Northern Florida.
Cold. We have a winter here.
And you said you've done some swinging with guys and girls?
Yeah, with friends of ours, you know, just to mix it up a little bit, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Do the guys have sex with your wife?
Yes.
No problems there, huh?
No, not at all.
Ooh.
What are you doing usually?
Well, you know, they're involved, both, you know, two guys and a girl. There's, you know, one guy's doing one thing, another guy's...
Right. Oh, so you're not just fanning with the towel like a corner man or anything?
No, not at all.
Okay.
That's my question. When we've had some of her girlfriends over, that's what she's doing.
She's just hanging out watching.
Yeah. And
does she get upset that you're with the girls?
No, not at all. But I don't believe it. Just a little curious thing, you know. And I know she's not bisexual or she's, you know, she's totally straight. Both of us are totally straight. But I don't know if it's whether she just is embarrassed to maybe do something that she, you know, maybe she might feel embarrassed if I saw her with another woman or...
Well, she doesn't want to be with a woman, you said.
Yeah, well, see, that's my thing. But I think she does. That's the whole kick.
Yeah.
You think she does.
Well,
that's right.
Hey, I know this woman like the back of my hand.
No. I mean, it's like when I was young, I knew Wonder Woman wanted me. I used to watch the TV. Well, I could tell she was looking at me.
You met Adrian Barbeau finally. Look how that worked out.
I mean,
but Dave, here's what I'm saying. When there is your wife and there's another guy you've brought into the bedroom,
right?
You're not cupping the guy's nuts.
No, absolutely.
You're
not
doing stuff with your wife.
Absolutely.
So now we swap out the guy for a girl, and she's doing something with you.
Right?
Shouldn't your wife be doing stuff with you?
Yeah. Why do you insist that she do something with the girl?
I don't insist at all. I'm just curious I just wanted input from you guys, and maybe she very well may not want to do anything.
Here's the reality. Well, this is the reality. Reality is she doesn't want to do anything with a girl because if she were into it, she'd do it. And she has lots of feelings about you being with the girl, but is just biting a hole in her goddamn lip. I guarantee it.
Well, wait a minute, Mr. Intuition. You're the guy who a second ago says you know she wants to be with a woman, yet she just stands there and doesn't capitalize on it.
Stand there. She's there, but she does never, like, doing, you know.
Well, why wouldn't she do something with a woman if you know she wants to do something with a woman?
I think she thinks that maybe I would think that's weird or something.
Really? The guy who stands by while another guy nails his wife?
And the guy who's encouraging her to go with the woman, who can't wait to see her do something with a woman?
I've never tried to encourage her. I'm just curious I just have a feeling that she might want to maybe try it sometime.
And you've never said that to her?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, obviously. That's what I'm talking about.
But she doesn't have a lot to say about it. So,
yeah, she's not into it. Even though you're urging her on, she's not into it because the whole thing is not working for her, I guarantee you.
All right, cool.
She is biting a hole in her lip, and this somehow or another, this will out. Something will come of this.
We haven't done anything in a long time. But
You guys don't have kids, do you?
We do. We have one.
Oh. All right. Well, that's 3 years enough. Old. That's enough now.
Oh, well, we haven't done anything since the child has been here.
Yeah. Okay, good. I'm guessing also one of the reasons you're not doing anything is she's not a big fan of this.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Good for me.
All right. Good times, sir.
I appreciate it, guys.
All right. All right. Thanks, Dave.
Right. Bye.
The guys are very good at it.
It's denial.
Well, yeah, but it's not only is it a denial, it's a sort of imposed scenario.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there their reality or no reality?
I know she wants to be with a woman. Yeah. Yet she stands by every time a woman comes into the bedroom and doesn't get involved.
It must be about me. That must be about me, too. It must be that she's afraid that she'll think that I freak out if I'll see her with a woman.
Yeah, even though you've encouraged her to be with a woman.
And you know it was not sort of a light encouragement either.
Yeah.
He's busting out wanting her to do it. She knows that.
I know. And look, that is... when you're standing by while your husband's going to town with one of your friends, that I would call that a form of protest.
She's saying the Lord's Prayer or something. She's begging to God for the strength to get through this.
All right. The Lord's Prayer. Aren't all prayers the Lord's Prayer?
Yeah.
Why does he need it? Does he needs a specific one? Is that God is my shepherd? I go through the valley of death.
That's a good one.
Fear no evil.
That's the one she should be saying. Yeah, that's it.
Now, which one is that?
Something out of the Bible.
That's not the Lord's Prayer, though.
No.
All right. Amanda?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Okay. Dr. Drew, mm-hmm. I was born with hepatitis B.
Mm-hmm.
My dad, I guess, got it from when he was in Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
He told my mother he had gotten it from eating off a man's fork. My dad is bisexual, so I'm guessing he got it through sex.
I think that's a good bet.
Maybe he just mispronounced fork.
Well, my dad is Norwegian, so that's possible.
Yeah. he was forking this guy in the ass. And I got the hepatitis B.
Adam, I also want to say to you that I'm very jealous of your wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, you sound very hot. So.
Yeah, I'm hot. You should see me sometime.
I wish I could, but I think you're all the way down in California, and I'm all the way up in Seattle.
Yeah, but you got a television, right?
Yeah, actually, I do. I've just never tried watching your show. I just never thought of it before.
Never. You have any idea what I look like?
No, but I'm guessing you're about.
You didn't see him back in the MTV. Didn't see us back in the MTV days.
No, I'm. This is my guess on him. He's about 5'6", short, medium brown hair.
Mm-hmm.
Bingo. Balding towards the back.
No.
Bingo. Wait,
no,
hold on. What's
are you balding?
What's balding toward the back mean?
Like the,
hold on. Shut up. What's balding toward the back?
Like a
friar.
Small circle
in the back. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Keep going.
Let's see. Semi-muscular.
Right.
So far, it's described somebody right. very hot.
Good-looking body.
What kind of body?
Very good-looking.
Good-looking body.
And basically, I don't know.
What color?
What
coloring? Color hair? Color
medium
eyes?
Brown, kind of short.
Short hair. Yeah.
Eyebrows.
Blue eyes. I'm guessing.
Oh, blue eyes. Yeah. Right. Eyebrows.
Semi-bushy.
Eyebrows. Well, of course, Drew.
No,
you let it.
How good was I?
Well.
You missed everything.
I'd say you're off.
Yeah,
and
everything.
Pretty far off. Pretty far off.
Well, that's my dream.
I don't look bad naked, though, but I'm 6'2".
I always think of you that way in my dreams.
You think 5'6", huh?
Yeah.
Why short guy?
We always get short.
You're not that short, because I'm only 5'7 and a half.
No, he's 6'2".
Really?
I know. I'm asking why.
It's your voice. I guess I could put you in that little, okay, you know how you guys say, like, when girls were molested at young ages, they sound like a little kid?
Mm-hmm.
Well, tall guys, if they, like, have a short personality, they sound short, I guess.
Whatever.
Hold on a second.
Anyways,
wait.
Sometimes I think to myself when I'm driving home, what if they find someone who can do this job better than you? What if they pull you off the air? Maybe you're not so good. And then people call the show in and I just relax.
Yeah.
Like, people call this show, not only cannot convey a thought, they cannot convey their own thoughts, which is an interesting thing. Like, it's one thing to be able to describe the principles of flight. It's another thing to just describe what you're thinking. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, Amanda, as you know, there's these guys who are tall, but they have the
short-sounding voice.
Short-sounding voice. Because of balding in the back.
Just slightly. But anyways, can I get back to my question?
Yes, please.
All right. But you don't, you're not interested. Well, yeah, I got it. No, wait a minute. I'm still fascinated. A, you're not interested in if you're right or wrong in your description.
That's what
at all. And
I'm
B,
really interested in you.
See how that works?
B, it could be, you could very easily find out what I look like.
Couldn't you?
On the web?
Just
look up Loveline on the web or Adam Carolla on the web, right?
Yeah, I never knew that.
So. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, but can I get back to my question?
Sorry.
I was born with hepatitis B.
Yeah.
And I was told that it can be transmitted through saliva, vaginal secretions,
yeah,
semen,
very contagious.
Blood,
very contagious.
Whatever, but... Okay, which is more contagious, through vaginal secretions or through saliva?
Well, vaginal secretions in that you're having much more intimate contact with vaginal secretions.
Yes.
It's not as though there's more virus there that I'm aware of.
Okay, because, like, I don't know. I've been very sexually interactive for the last 2 years.
It says 50 guys in 2 years.
Over that, possibly, I don't know.
And you haven't told any of these guys?
I've told a few, and the few that I've told don't really care.
Oh, you got it. You got to call, like, infection control. You got to call the county health department.
Typhoid Mary.
Hey, this is serious.
One guy that I was with, he thought that, you know, he wanted to be with me the rest of his life, and I keep getting moved away from him. And he says he doesn't care because he wants me to be with him for the rest of his life.
Well, now, you have chronic hepatitis B?
That's one guy out of the 49.
I'm a carrier.
So you don't have active hepatitis?
Not that I know of.
You have chronic, what's called chronic persistent hepatitis.
Yeah.
We used to call it that anyway.
Hey, hold on a second, though. I'm sorry, Drew. I got a bunch of questions. Amanda, what's happened to you? What's wrong? Were you a drug addict?
I only just started drinking on my 17th birthday. Other than that, I don't do anything.
Also not a good idea with your hepatitis, right?
No, but I don't drink actively. I drink socially every once in a while.
Okay, and did you get placed in foster homes or anything like that?
Yeah, actually I was at 8 years old. And also, to answer your other question, which I know that you're going to ask me, I was molested at 3 years old by the same man that transmitted the disease to me.
Your dad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At 3 years old at a public pool.
Just one time?
As far as I know.
How much work can you get done at a public pool?
He was changing me. I was told that it was with a pencil. That's what I told my mom, I guess, but I don't know. She said that she found out that I was molested because after being penetrated, I was bleeding profusely.
Oh, my God.
With a pencil?
Yeah. Uh-huh. She says that's how it happened, while he was changing me after playtime with my sisters.
At a public pool?
Yeah.
He put a pencil inside you?
Yeah, that's what I was told.
In one time?
It might have been his penis. I don't. I'm not positive. That's what I want to try to find my dad. To try to get this straightened out, but I have no way to find him because he's a registered SO. I have no way to find him at all.
He's registered as what?
Sex offender.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I wouldn't pursue finding dad.
No, would not. But do you see a hepatologist, a liver specialist?
I have.
Hold on a second. Maybe there's another with the Norwegian thing. Maybe he was trying to say penis.
And it came out as pencil?
Yes. Yes, I violated my daughter with my penis. And he was trying to say penis. You see, Drew? It's like he was trying to say the F word earlier, and it came out fork. Oh, boy. Amanda's a mess, though. Where's your mom?
My mom is in Cloverdale, but no, I told my mom what had happened. I guess I had seen
it. I know, but how did your mom lose custody of you?
Because she was a big drug addict when I was growing up with her. Okay. I was taken away at 8 years old.
All right, so I'm going to let Drew talk to you about hepatitis for 10 seconds, but let me first say this.
Okay.
Amanda, you've been through a lot.
Yes, I have.
And you're smart.
Thank you.
But maybe not as smart as you think you are. And you're doing a ton of acting out.
Oh yeah, well she knows
a ton, and you got to slow down.
But you're harming people. I mean, you're a dangerous weapon at this point.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, I was in a treatment center for 5 years.
Amanda, a certain percentage of these guys are going to die of liver disease.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
And some of them may get what's called a fulminant hepatitis. They may get really sick. They may already have been really sick.
Most of them probably already have a form of hepatitis because they're all shooters.
That's Hep C. You add in Hep B, that's bad news. So, look, maybe you can get the hepatitis B eradicated. Maybe really see a hepatologist and really get the interferon going and the ribavirin and all this stuff. And there are ways to try to eradicate the hepatitis.
I was told that like it naturally leaves the system, but I've now had it for 17 years.
No, it's not going to be with you.
All right, but Amanda, you got to get some therapy and you got to stop acting out, okay? No more sex for a while.
The reason why I have sex so much is because I was basically taught that.
No, I know.
You're showing love to somebody.
Look, I know you got screwed up. I'm telling you to stop acting screwed up.
And you really should know. You should notify.
Well, try harder, would you please?
Notify your county health
Jesus
department.
Jesus Christ!
Because they got to contact these guys and make sure they don't then go out and spread it to another 50 people. Each of them.
I just like to take Amanda's dad and just ram an M80 up his ass. I really would.
Yeah.
You know why? Because these guys create these monsters, and I know that sounds horrible, but I mean, you create these things, and then you unleash them on society.
Well, mom played a little role here, too.
Mom needs a nice...
ass kicking.
She needs a nice hepatitis douching herself, with followed up by an M80 as well. She needs a hepatitis douche with an M80 tampon. Do they make those...
Colorful.
Make those
artistic.
They make novelty tampons.
Exploding
like,
tampons?
Well, you know, they make those... they make those loads you put in the cigarettes. They blow up, you know?
Yeah.
It seems like they could do one of those.
Exploding tampons that have, like... make sound effects.
You know? When you pull them out? Yeah. I think they do that anyway, Drew. All right, so Amanda, just stop. And listen, all you horribly effed up people out there, I'm sorry for what happened to you. And I know your way of showing love is getting affection is... Okay, stop it. You're spreading hepatitis all over North America. Jesus Christ. Maria?
Hi.
You're 17?
I had a question kind of for Dr. Drew.
Hold on a second.
Got that voice.
Yeah, I can't take her right now. We'll get to her. This guy's sucking on nitrous.
Take a break.
Hold on.
Oh, huh?
Michael? Michael.
Who is asleep? Hear him?
Well, maybe he got too much nitrous.
Absolutely. There he is. Nice.
Sucks nitrous oxide out of a balloon to get high. How bad is this? Well,
we have a little example of it here.
I was trying to eat some nitrous at the dentist on Monday, but it wasn't taken. Drew, what can I do about that?
Hey, Adam.
Hmm.
When I wave and I'm saying it's like 10:20, it's time to go to break, and you just ignore me and you go to another call, what is that?
Just not interested.
It's time to go to break, though. I mean, that's my...
I know, but I'm looking at the clock, and it's 11:20 and 39 seconds.
We're supposed to go to break at 11:20.
I know. We'll go to break. We'll go to break. I was just going to back sell this thing.
You're a heavyweight.
We're going to break.
We're solving your problem for you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to break. We usually go. We go for a little while. So, I love the kids. And it's hard for me to break away from them. Let me explain what these commercial breaks are like. You know when a mother is, her kids are going back to Saudi Arabia with their horrible, horribly abused dad. And she's at the airport and she's hanging on to them and she's crying. Oh, my babies. That's what you guys are like.
Before you go to break?
Yeah, and this is like the airport.
It feels like that.
It's a 4-minute plane ride. What? I can't take it.
So I'm like the guy at the little station where I got to do security, and I'm like, guys, back off.
You're the kidnapping, abusive.
Because I'll just stop. I mean, I guess I'm just waiting.
No, I like it when you point. Lets me know it's time to go.
You like to be able to ignore me, because if I don't do anything, then you have nothing to
do. No, but listen, I'm not going to dive on the drop button the second you point. You point means it's time for commercial. All right.
You do
I
at least make
that.
A mental note? Okay.
Absolutely. Please go ahead. Keep doing it. If anything, you get a little exercise. All right, we'll be back.
Hi, this is Robert Downey Jr., and you're listening to Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Yes, you is. All right, our nitrous call, Michael, is up, I hear, but maybe a little groggy. Michael?
Yeah.
How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I woke up.
All right. I know, we caught you at a bad time.
Yeah, sorry about that.
It's all right. What were you dreaming about?
I don't know.
I don't remember, huh?
Nope.
All right. Were you on the sofa?
No.
You're in your bed?
Yep.
Yeah. You living at home?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you did the nitrous balloon?
Mm-hmm.
How often do you do that?
I don't know, 2 weekends a month.
2 weekends a month?
Yeah.
Did you do some tonight?
No.
Wow, like to hear you when you're on the nitrous.
Ew.
And how many times would you say you've done it all together?
I've probably done, I don't know, like 40 canisters.
No boy.
40 canisters, but each canister is good for what, one balloon?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you've done like 40 balloon loads. Yeah, I've done that balloon thing a few times.
The main risk is when you take the drug. It's an anesthetic. You can have heart problem, heart rhythm disturbances. You can fall down and bust up your face, hit your head. There is a sort of Guillain-Barré-like syndrome associated with heavy nitrous use, and I've seen some psychotic symptoms from heavy nitrous. But
what's that Guillain-Barré?
Where you sort of lose the ability, you lose motor function in an ascending manner, starting basically in your feet and then up ultimately where you can't breathe and can't move your arms and legs.
And that night or just somewhere down the road?
Somewhere down the road.
You mean 20 years later?
No, it's people are using a, you know, every night kind of thing. All of a sudden, one day, boom.
Yeah. Hey, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing. It's one of these drugs, unlike X and unlike, let's see, like acid and stuff like that, where it doesn't really necessarily go after your brain.
Yeah.
But there's a whole bunch of stuff that can happen, and you hear these stories all the time. Somebody leaves the tank running in a car, and everyone just dies.
Right. Yeah, I don't, you know, I've stayed away from doing the tanks. Or
yeah, you pass out and whack your head on a bookshelf.
I don't do anything else.
All right, well, here's the thing. In general, not a great plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. But not as dangerous as some stuff, but could be more dangerous in a more immediate way.
Mm-hmm.
Like you having a seizure.
What if I already have epilepsy?
Cool. Then it's all right. I didn't know.
It could affect his risk, sure.
All right.
Yeah, so.
What about juvenile myoclonic epilepsy?
That's just another seizure disorder, but yeah, possibly get worse.
All right, you got that to contend with.
Are you on Klonopin? What are you on for the seizure disorder?
I am on.
Topazine?
No. What is it? It's right here.
Klonopin.
It's the first one you said.
Yeah. Clonazepam.
No, it's not a typical.
I got a special one.
Yeah.
Ethosuximide.
Ooh.
If I could find it, I could tell you.
All right, Michael.
Here it is.
Yeah.
Carbitrol.
Which?
Carbitrol.
Carbitrol. Okay.
All right. Hey, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're on the blood thinning stuff. Is that what that is, Drew?
No, it's Gabitrol.
Carbitrol.
These are anti-seizure medicines.
Doesn't it also thin out your blood?
No, that's Coumadin.
Oh, what was the first one you mentioned?
Carbitrol. Oh, Klonopin.
Oh, that doesn't. That's anti-seizure
stuff.
Valium
light truck. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, it's anti-seizure. Like just. Ratchets you down so you can't really have one.
Right.
I gotta get some of that.
Yeah, no doubt.
Jesus, man, I took that...
The stimulant?
No. What stimulant? Oh, that stimulant. No, Drew, Drew's so worried. I told Drew to give me, pop me a couple uppers, because I gotta perform, man. You know what I mean? I gotta dance for the man. When I'm dancing for the man, I like to do a good job dancing, what I'm saying? I told you I'd take that thing when I did Howard Stern and I slept for 2 hours and I had to stay up for 8 hours.
Yeah.
I wanted to form a thought. I'm not interested in that crap if I sleep. I took a couple of those, what the hell those painkillers I got there, Drew?
Vicodin?
Yeah, a couple of Vicodin. Mm. Too many pills run through my mind, you know?
Mm-hmm. Imagine.
Took a couple of those Vicodins because I had my oral surgery on Monday. Popped a couple of Vicodins when I got home. Actually, not that night, the next night.
Yeah.
Popped down two of those and then...
It's red wine.
Put back a couple of cocktails, yeah. Red wine? Yeah, nothing. Oh, but you know what? Couldn't sleep.
Ooh.
Not couldn't sleep. Slept fine. Went to bed at 3.
Oh.
So not tired at 2:30.
Wow. That's the Vicodin.
Yeah, what's Vicodin do?
It makes you euphoric. Some people that have the gene especially feel a little stimulated by it.
Yeah, not euphoric by any stretch of the imagination. Just not tired, but not zippity. Not tapping my foot.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Not grinding my teeth. And when I went to bed, I went to bed.
Right.
I was sort of waiting for a buzz that never came. You know when you're a kid and you're waiting for St. Nick?
Oh, yeah.
You try to stay up late on Christmas Eve, got the cookies and the milk out. And you're like, you're in your little jammies. Where is he? And eventually you just conk out in the living room.
Right.
It was like that, except for I was waiting for St. Buzz to come down the chimney, and he never showed his goddamn face. What is this with this Vicodin? Everyone yapping about how great it is. Two of those things.
You don't have the gene.
Half a bottle of red wine. I'm just sitting there watching the Discovery Channel. 2:30 in the morning. Can't cop a buzz. Like nothing. Zero. As far as the pain went, didn't really do much for that either.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's nothing a couple glasses of red wine couldn't cure. So what's up with that Vicodin? And why aren't they giving me the good stuff? That's what I'm saying. I think they're giving me the weak crap. You know how they know they're taking the weak crap? Why? You know I know it's crap?
Why?
Because I look at the bottle, and A, it doesn't have the no booze sticker on it, which to me means that's aspirin. That no booze sticker, That martini glass with the line through it, that's a good housekeeping seal of approval at the Corolla house. Yeah, that means, all right, now I know what's going to make this go down. Now this is going to be the catalyst. This is going to activate this drug. That's number one. So number one, no booze thing. The other thing is the instructions are take one or two every 6 hours or whenever pains, whatever. Ah, okay, that means it's nothing. Now I'm just, that's just white sawdust in a pill form. Because I want the one that says take one and run.
Throw the rest out. Don't ever.
Yes, if you took two, you'd wake up the emergency room. That's what I want. That take one, take two, take how many you want, see how you feel.
They shouldn't prescribe it that way.
It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
And then it's got nothing. What, it prescribed nothing. Doesn't do anything. I'm going to bring these in. They weren't even pink. Aren't they supposed to be pink?
Darvis said it's pink. Viking is white.
Yeah. I got to look into that.
Yeah.
All right. Troy, I got it. This is nothing. See, if I had... If I had my designation, my heavyweight designation on my license, like I was talking about, I'd flash that at the dentist, and I get the good stuff.
All right.
Take one, take two, take a handful, wash it down with some scotch. Do whatever you got to do. You want to operate heavy machinery? Be my guest. It says right on the package. Sam?
Hi.
You're 31?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
I'm just having a problem dealing with the situation with my family. My mom is... been sleeping with another guy for about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And for a while, I was the only one that knew about it. And she told my dad, so I thought, well, okay, they'll probably get a divorce.
How did you find out about it?
She told me.
Oh, why? What'd she tell you?
She said, yeah, I'm sleeping with an ex-boyfriend, and I don't know if she was looking for approval or what, but...
Well, she's got some boundary issues, Mom. Yeah,
well, but after all, Sam's 31. Sometimes parents suddenly want to have friends with their kids, and
yeah,
it never works. But
no, all right. So now, Sam.
Hmm?
Yeah, do you love your dad?
Yeah.
Do you feel bad for him?
I did.
Well, now why don't you feel bad for him now?
Because he stayed with her.
Oh, you did.
He
you
knows
don't...
now.
He knows,
and you don't have respect for him hanging out, huh?
Mm-mm.
Did you tell him that?
I'm sorry?
Did you tell him that?
No.
Maybe you ought to. Maybe he's hanging.
I'm sorry.
Why is he mad at you?
He's mad at me that I found out and that I said something to my mom.
You found out? You didn't say anything to him? Well, why is he mad that you found out? Your mom told you.
I don't know. I think that he thinks that... Because I think he knew. And then when... I confronted my mom. She went and told him, and so I think he's embarrassed or something.
Cannot follow her at all.
All right. Listen, I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. Our goddamn callers can't even tell their own stories right. He's mad at me because I found out. He's mad at you because your mom told you she was having an affair. I don't know. He knew. And then when I found out, my mom had to tell him.
That's exactly what she said.
And I think he's embarrassed. I don't even know what that means.
I have no idea.
Sam?
Uh-huh.
Okay, we really have no idea what you're trying to say, and I don't want to waste any more time trying to figure it out. But here's the thing. You're 31, right?
Uh-huh.
You're not living at home?
No.
Good.
You have your own life, your own relationships, your own family?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You married?
Yes.
You have kids?
I have two.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
You need to work very hard on taking care of those two kids. And as far as your parents go, sometimes family stuff, you need just to get a little space, let the dust settle. I'm sure your dad's a decent guy. I don't know about your mom. But don't put too much pressure on it. It'll work out. Okay. I don't think your dad's going to be angry at you for that long because your mom told you something.
Why did your mom tell you this?
I don't know. I think she wanted approval.
Okay.
I think it's none of my business, but somehow I...
All right, and I'm going to give you one more shot at why Dad's mad at you.
Okay, what happened is I followed her to the guy's house, and I said, Mom, you know, this is ridiculous.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
Your mom told you she was having an affair, or you followed her to the house?
Well,
and
she told him, and then she followed her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why did you follow?
Because she said she was somewhere else where she was supposed to be with us, and so I said, well, you're not... her lying to us. And so she went home and told my dad, and he was mad because she told him.
He wanted to live in ignorance, I guess. Does that make any... I know it doesn't make any sense.
No, it does not.
But
Sam, how old... When you're telling your kids a bedtime story, and Little Red Riding Hood, she walked through the desert to get to Grandpa's boat.
She was carrying a basket of flowers to eat.
Do you confuse your kids with bedtime stories, Sam?
No, it just doesn't make any sense to me why he's mad at me, I guess.
All right. Well, listen. If he's mad at you and you can think of no good reason why
he's mad at you, then
screw him.
Or Mom told him something that was inaccurate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. But listen, everybody. I've gone through this with my own family. Once every 6 months, my mom gets ticked off at me. I'm not sure why. Her problem is it manifests itself by her not calling me.
Right.
Which is like...
doing you a favor.
Well, I don't know if we call it a favor, but it's as if the warden wanted to discipline one of the criminals, so he gave him extra yard time and better meals. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
He's not sure I'm not sure if I'm being disciplined or not.
Right.
All I know is the phone stops ringing. I'm busy and I never notice it. Eventually, she gets tired and calls me to tell me she's tell me she's mad at me. But here's the deal: if I didn't do anything, I don't care.
Right.
And everyone should be that way.
When you're in your 30s, it's time to let go a little bit.
Yeah, and I understand if you need them and their grandparents to your kids and that kind of stuff. It's a good idea to keep on good terms with them. But following your mom. Sam's a little too involved here. That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My family, I don't even want to know. I don't know. My mom, I don't ask any questions at all. Oh, man. Yeah, I got to tell you something good, Drew. That's good.
Oh, tell me.
Yeah. Oh, off the air. Right. Off the air. All right, we'll take a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, yo, Loveline, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number. Oh, forget about that phone number. All right. Let's jump back on the phones, Drew.
There we go.
Top to the phones. Juniper?
Yes.
What's up? Was your parents, were they big Donovan fans?
Donovan?
No. Nope.
Your name? No.
Mm-hmm. No.
There's a song, you know, where he sings Jennifer, Juniper.
Juniper. Like the bush, like Jen.
Yeah, I'm saying there's a song.
Oh.
This is the hurdy-gurdy man, but there's a song where he sings Jennifer, Juniper.
No, actually, Juniper's not my birth name, but I've changed it, so it's not my legal name.
Ah. All right. Oh, really? That's always a bad sign, by the way. Yeah.
Yes, I had a childhood.
Okay. Jeez. Oh,
God, she just sound like a mate.
No, everybody tonight. Everybody. Think about it.
Yeah, it's... I mean, here's what I guess what I'm saying is we talk to screwed up people all the time. We talk to dumb people and we talk to high people and stuff, but we're getting grizzled tonight. And you know, we usually don't dip into the grizzled category. Like 20-year-old chicks that have been ridden hard and put away wet, you know, just grizzled, like seen it all. That 17-year-old that was in foster care, we're talking to, she sounded like a Vietnam nurse who was in her 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we,
6 tours of duty.
Right. I'm intrigued by Jennifer Juniper over here, though.
No, I don't really care at all.
No, I don't care.
Go back to her.
All right. No. You know, it's funny, it always, part that I always find interesting, too, about the show in life in general. People are named, and she named herself Juniper, or she had it changed to it. But there sometimes famous songs with people's names in it, and you bring that famous song up that has their name, and they have no idea.
No.
And it's like, really? You've been on the earth for 20-some-odd years, and nobody's pointed that out? I'm guessing somebody did, but things don't stick real good.
Right, right.
You're like a refrigerator with a wood panel on the front of it. The magnets
don't stick. Slide
no,
down.
No, nope. Those finger paints the junior draws, slide right down to the floor. Don't stick, Juniper.
Yes.
All right. I know you've had a hard life, but you cannot swear.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I had a messed up childhood.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
You're dating a 37-year-old guy now.
Yeah, and actually, I called you guys about him when I met him 5.5 years ago.
Hmm.
Yeah. You told me I was a beanpole and I grew up to be a supermodel.
Really?
And, yeah, it didn't work out for me, but thanks.
You were 15.
14.
You were
my birthday's in January. We met in June.
Oh, boy.
Okay. It's always trouble. Hold on a second. Mm-hmm. Even if I do the goddamn math, it's always trouble. Like if a 20-year-old says, I met the guy 5 years ago, mm-hmm. you're 15, that doesn't. It'll never work. We got to take a lap on that one. Juniper?
Yeah.
Okay. 14, and the guy was?
31
years old.
Yeah, I know. I
and you're still
And I yeah. know it's never going to work.
No, you're still with this guy, though.
That's amazing. He's really good in bed.
And did this guy not want to have sex with you at the beginning?
Well, we broke up in about 6 months so he could go back with his ex-fiance, but that only lasted 2 weeks, and then he wanted to have sex with me again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Doesn't really answer the question.
That, that means nothing. Yeah. Okay,
yeah,
so...
he did want to have sex with me in the beginning.
Okay, he did.
Yeah.
And,
Actually, I went after him.
He was going to 14... How'd you meet this guy when you were 14?
Renaissance Fair.
Oh, my God.
Where?
Huh? Renaissance Fair.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So,
what happened to your childhood?
My sister's boyfriend thought little girls were pretty, and I had this kid at 11. And
what?
Yeah.
You gave birth at 11?
Well, no. It was actually cesarean, but yeah.
At 11?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
How old is your kid now?
9.
Hmm.
I think. I don't have him.
Oh, okay. What?
Wow.
But you were not 12 when you gave birth.
No. Well, I would have been 12 in 2 days.
11.
Yeah. Holy F. C-section at 11, huh?
Yeah.
Was that just, I mean, what was that like at 11?
It sucked.
But I mean, how did you make sense of it?
I didn't really.
You just lived through it. Just, yeah. There it was.
And then I found crank, and yeah, it was bad. The whole thing was ugly.
Damn it.
But I've moved on from that.
Yeah.
Well, evidently.
We haven't.
Survivor.
Yeah. Well, and what about, you know, did you get counseling and stuff when you found out you're pregnant?
Well, when I was, in addition to the whole rape thing, when I was 6, I told my kindergarten counselor chick that my mom was hitting me, but my mom's an elementary school teacher where we were, and so they said, no, your mom would never do that.
Was she?
Yes, she was. She must be a pathological liar, so every counselor I ever went to looked at that on my record
and never
listened to me. So.
Mm. All right, so, and now, what grade were you in when you got pregnant?
Fifth
grade.
Mm-hmm.
And did you have to drop out of the fifth grade?
No, they just made me wear big clothes, and I got fat, and then I was gone for the last 3 months.
Wow.
And then you had the child. The child went to...
adoption.
Adoption. Mm. Okay. Whose decision was that?
My parents actually wanted to give him to my sister, and I said, hell no, because my sister was a drug addict and alcoholic.
Oh, my God.
And hell no.
Oh, my God.
So
And it was her boyfriend that raped you, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
I also didn't want a kid growing up around him.
Oh, good. I got 11. She had better sense than the parents.
Well, technically 12, 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So everything's a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And now, how's life going for you?
It's getting much better. I'm becoming grown up.
Yeah, good. And you're still with this guy that you like having sex with?
Yeah.
It must be hard to have a real relationship, given what you've been through.
Well,
so
basically, we got huge problems all last year. We broke up in August, and he dumped me, and that was not okay with me, so I came back and convinced him to come back, and then I was like, wait, why did I do that? That was stupid. I don't want to be here.
Well, because you can't tolerate abandonment. You can't tolerate the leaving part.
And this guy, actually worse than being in his early 30s and having sex with a 14-year-old, attends the Renaissance Fair, which to me is something I can't get past. The sex with the minors, that's a lifestyle decision. I can't say I agree with, but I'm not going to pass judgment. But him dressing up as Friar Tuck and dragging around a mutton chop all day while he sucks ale out of a hand thrown.
Actually, he doesn't. He plays recorder with a...
Well, he plays the lute worse.
Yeah, he's a geek.
Oh, my God. And he's a criminal. I mean, yeah. This guy's a world-class jackass. I mean, this guy was in his early 30s when he's banging away on a 14-year-old. He's leaving his fiancée.
No, she left him because she slept with his best friend.
This guy's just a Friar Tard.
But they've been together 4 years.
Well, write that down, Drew. Friar Tard.
What?
5.5.
5.5 years. Amazing.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's so fine. That's all right.
All right.
What's she gonna? I mean, how much? You know.
That's true. All right. So, what are you doing now? What's he do?
I don't even want to get into it. He's such a loser. It's not even funny. Which is why I want to leave him. However.
Good.
I know that if I just leave, I'm either going to become a slut or I'm going to go back to the sex. So, from a guy's perspective, would it be better for me to be honest and tell him I am on the market and I'm looking for someone else to be with? But I would be happy to stay here and fuck and sleep with you until I find said person, or should I just tell him when I'm ready to go?
All right. Okay.
I didn't understand the question.
It's a horrible question. Juniper,
yeah.
Forget about whatever plan you have. You listen to us.
Mm-hmm. Here goes.
You break up with
Friar. Yeah, get on with it.
Friar. Well, it Friar sounds F. like Tuck, F. but it starts with an F.
Friar F.
Okay. Yeah. Just break up with him. Don't give him that big story about I'm on the market. That's just nothing but nonsense to get him to act nice.
Yeah, yeah.
This guy's a criminal, and he's an idiot. And you're stronger
you're
than
becoming
this.
An adult
and
now.
And you're becoming a woman.
Yeah.
So get it together. Just break up with the guy. Move on.
Have a real relationship.
You don't have to have sex with everyone you meet. You don't have to freak out. You can take care of yourself. You can get your head straight. You've been with a guy for 5.5 years, you can be on your own for a couple of years or a year. You don't have to have a man in your life, okay?
Okay.
All right, good.
Good luck, Jim.
I imbibe you with the power of this. And that's the show. I want to thank Tara, Don't Call Me Tara, for doing a great job on the phones.
God damn it.
I want to thank... Oh, yeah, that's right. Forgot the god damn it part. I want to thank Brian for doing a square job on the coffee and just generally being a good champ. I want to thank junior assistant Laura for doing... Lauren for doing a solid job on the things that she does. And, of course, the magic-fingered one. Anderson.
My name's Anderson Dick.
Anderson Dick.
Thanks, Alan.
For doing a great job sliding those potentiometers all week long and hitting them buttons on that thing that I don't know about. So until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo. Here's a I violated my daughter with my penis.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.